Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Let's start this hour with reaction to President Obama's speech last night.
A lot of questions remain about the threat ISIS poses to the U.S. and whether the president needs more authorization from Congress to do what he wants to do. In a moment, we'll hear from Republican Congressman Mike Turner. But first, we are joined by Ben Rhodes, the White House Deputy National Security Advisor. Ben Rhodes, welcome to Here and Now.
Good to be with you, Jeremy.
Well, does the president have the authority already, in your view, to carry out this campaign against ISIS without another vote of authorization in Congress?
Yes, Jeremy. We believe that the president has the constitutional authority to carry out these actions against ISIL. We believe that based on the 2001 AUMF and his constitutional powers, he can carry out strikes against an organization like ISIL that is an outgrowth of al-Qaeda that poses a direct threat to American personnel and to U.S. interests. We've also said that we'd welcome congressional support for these actions. As the president said last night, we're stronger as a country when we act together. But he is currently taking action under his authorities and will continue to do so.
But the 2001 AUMF, which is the authorization for the use of military force against terrorists, is, and I'm quoting here, to authorize the U.S. armed forces against those responsible for the recent attacks launched against the United States. We're talking about September 11th, 2001. But ISIS didn't have anything to do with those attacks.
They were an outgrowth of al-Qaeda in Iraq, AQI as we used to call it, which was the principal al-Qaeda affiliate in Iraq. They, of course, have since had differences with al-Qaeda and have established themselves as their own entity. I'd also note that the president has authority as commander-in-chief to take action to protect American personnel and facilities. We have been doing that in Iraq, given the threat to our people in Baghdad and Erbil. We've been filing war powers reports that is part of his constitutional requirements, again, with those actions, and will continue to do so going forward. So there are a range of different authorities that the president has, but we certainly do keep Congress informed through war powers reports and consultations, and we'll be discussing with Congress what additional things they can do to support our actions against ISIL.
But even if ISIL was an outgrowth of al-Qaeda, this clearly wasn't the intention of the 2001 AUMF to go fighting any outgrowth of al-Qaeda. It says specifically those responsible for the recent attacks.
Well, again, that's right, but it identifies the ability to take action going forward against al-Qaeda, and we have used that authority to go after associated forces of al-Qaeda. That would include, for instance, al-Shabaab in Somalia, AQAP, the affiliate in Yemen. But to your point, Jeremy, the president said in his speech at NDU over a year ago that as al-Qaeda cores diminished and as the circumstances that led to 9/11 have changed, we do need to look at whether we need to ultimately repeal that 2001 AUMF and replace it with a different authorization.
There are also big questions about how serious a threat ISIS actually poses to the United States. The Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson said yesterday, at present we have no credible information that ISIS is planning to attack the homeland of the U.S. And the president emphasized that point in his speech also. So why does the U.S. have such an interest in going after this group?
Well, there are several reasons, Jeremy. First of all, we've been taking action on an urgent basis in Iraq to protect our personnel and facilities. Clearly, if they were to come into a population center like Erbil, where we have diplomats serving and we have military personnel serving, those people would be put at risk. And we need not look any further than the horrifying killings of two American journalists to know that any American is in danger if they're in proximity to ISIL. Beyond that, there is not specific plotting detected against the homeland yet, but we have threats from ISIL leaders against the United States and our allies, and we know that there are foreign fighters who are fighting with ISIL in Iraq and Syria, thousands of them, including many Europeans who can travel to the United States more easily, including Americans as well. So this could develop into a more direct threat against the homeland or America's allies in Europe on a quicker basis, given those foreign fighters. The last thing I'd say is ISIL was risking overrunning a large swath of Iraq and Syria, that could essentially pose a threat to the government of Iraq, pose a threat to other U.S. partners in the region. So clearly this is a threat that we felt had to be dealt with.
But what about Syria? We don't have diplomats in Syria that we need to protect.
No, we don't. And so what we have is a safe haven where the border between Iraq and Syria has essentially disappeared. If we're going to deal with the challenge posed by ISIL, we need to deal with a safe haven on both sides of that border. We are committing to use airstrikes to do that. However, the partners who are fighting on the ground are not going to be American forces. We're strengthening the Iraqi security forces and the Kurdish forces on the Iraqi side of the border, and we want to continue to help strengthen the Syrian opposition on the Syrian side of the border so that there is an alternative to ISIL.
You bring up partners, and I want to ask you about this broad coalition that the president talked about. We're hearing today that Germany and the United Kingdom won't be part of airstrikes. So who's in this coalition?
Well, so first of all, we expect there to be many countries who participate in this effort. That includes key Arab partners like Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, many of our European allies and NATO allies, countries like Australia and Canada. At the same time, not every country in this coalition will need to conduct airstrikes to be a part of this effort. There are many ways that countries can contribute. Even in Iraq, what we've seen is countries flying humanitarian airdrops with us, countries committing intelligence resources to this effort. Countries have been providing arms and training to Iraqi and Kurdish forces. So, for instance, you mentioned Germany. They have provided arms to the Kurdish forces. That's critically important. The airstrikes are only one component of a broader campaign. At the end of the day, the people who are going to be the most invested in this are the Iraqis who are fighting the threat on the ground.
Ben Rhodes, White House Deputy National Security Advisor, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Jeremy.